You may be seated. That's a lovely hymn to sing together about prayer. I want to turn in God's Word to the person of God's Word we read together, Zechariah chapter 8. The prophecy of Zechariah in chapter 8. And our text can be found in the verse 21 of this chapter. It's about prayer. If you notice that we've been singing about prayer. And well, you know what I'm going to preach about then. We're going to preach about prayer. Because it says in verse 21, "And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts, and I will go also." A little phrase, "Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord." And the theme and the title we really have here is simple. It's "Let us pray." Let us pray. Let's look to the Lord and ask for his help in our meeting here this morning. You pray, child of God, that God has a blessing for you from his word. Our Father in heaven, we would ask for your help as we come to thy word. I certainly ask for help, Lord, to speak. I pray your word would find a resting place in the hearts of all your people. And that will teach us how to pray. And how to meet with God. Personally and, Lord, publicly in the public prayer meetings. Close us in with thyself. We need thy help, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we want to continue our little study on two words for those who weren't with us last week. "Let us" was the two words we looked together. The two words reminded, of course, us of the unity of God's people. I'm speaking here about every true child of God, no matter where they're from in this world, whatever continent or whatever country it may be. If we're trusting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, according to the Bible, we are one people. We are all placed in Jesus Christ. We have the same salvation. We have the same mercy. We have the same hope. We have the same Father. God's people are one people, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm glad of that. Even though I'm from Northern Ireland, and you're from America, maybe some people from different countries, we belong to Christ. I wonder today, do you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? I wonder, are you among God's people? Are you saved? Is he your Savior? And so we notice that God's people are one people. And last week we commenced our service on a little series I want to do together about "Let us arise and go to Bethel." And we notice that Jacob came to his family and to his people and he says, "Listen, let us arise and go to Bethel." And we learned all about Jacob going back to Bethel. He was going back to God. He was going back to the blood. He was going back to the place where he met the Lord Jesus Christ at the first. He was going back to that place where he made promises and vows unto God. He went back to the beginning and he brought all his people back. And they all went up to Bethel to get right with God. And we noticed last week that there was a separation to get back. And the purification as well. Remember, he got the gods of the people. And he took them and he dug a hole at a tree. And he buried them. There were things in his family wasn't right. And there were things around him that wasn't right. And he put them all to one side. And he buried them. And we noticed the application. There may be things in my life, in your life, we need to bury. We need to put to the one side. We're going to meet with God and get right with God. There are things we need to put right. And I'm asking you, did you go to Bethel last week? when you heard the word of God being preached, and you heard what you had to do to get close with Christ. After all, every child of God in this meeting, we want to get right with God. We want to get close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in the past week, I say to you, did you go back home and put things right, what needed to be put right in your home, in your heart, in your own life? Jacob put all the false gods away. And he noticed he met with God. It was then the God of glory appeared to him. And God spoke to him. Jacob there was there with all his family standing before the Lord. And so we noticed last week, let us go up to Bethel. I hope you went. I hope I don't look down today and say, well, you didn't go. You didn't come. That we all went to Bethel, spiritually speaking, to meet with God. Now, today's text we find in the prophecy of Zechariah, referring to the restoration of Israel. God had a message for the people. God had his man, his message. And as he's speaking to this people, he says to them, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts, and I will go also. And so, really, he's looking at the people. And he says, let us go and pray. Let us go up before the Lord and pray. He says, I will go also. And I think here we have the theme, you can see it. Let us pray. Let us pray. That's a simple term. A simple message. But one no doubt that will speak to all of our hearts today. And you can see in these words, and I'm taking the words from his context for the passage, about the importance of prayer. When the word of the Lord came unto me. It says in verse 18, and the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me. God had a message for this man. And God is speaking to him. God had a call to the people. And what was this call? What did the Lord want this people to do? He says, let us go speedily to pray. Let us pray. And you can see immediately here that prayer is important in the life of a child of God. As I turn to God's word, I'm sure everyone here in the meeting here this morning believes this is God's word. And as I read this Bible, it teaches me the importance of prayer in the Christian's life. And I'll give you a number of reasons why it is important. Think about the commencement of prayer in the believer's life. Look at the wonderful example in the life of the Apostle Paul, Saul, before his conversion. He hated Christ. He hated the people who belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. There were people he persecuted, even unto the death. But something wonderful happened to this man on the road to Damascus. He met with the Lord Jesus Christ and he was saved and he was transformed and he was changed in a moment. How do we know he was changed? How did Ananias, that man of God who dwelt in that city, when God came to him and said, Ananias, go and speak to Saul. What did God say to Ananias? Well, he said to him in chapter 9, verse 11 of Acts, the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. He's praying. This is a man who used to breathe out nothing but threatenings and slaughter. But there's something has happened to Saul. He's a changed man. And God says, Ananias, go in. Behold, he prayeth. And Saul had only commenced the Christian life. But he's praying. Now, no doubt about it. He prayed words before us. He went through his rituals. He said his words. He was a very, very religious Jew. But here he's starting to pray. He's been born again of the Spirit of the living God. Christ is in his heart, and he's praying. He saw the importance of prayer, you see. New life had been poured into his soul. New life now was in his heart. New words came from his lips. He's praying to God. I can tell you when I got saved, one of the first things I did after I got saved, got on my knees and started to pray. And every child of God in this meeting who's saved and trusted the Lord Jesus, you can say it when you got saved, you started to pray. Now that doesn't mean you never said words of prayer beforehand. We all went through little rituals, but we started to really pray unto the Lord after our conversion. You see, the importance of prayer is found when we come to God's Word in the very commencement of it. When you get saved, you start to pray. I'm asking you today, are you a praying person? Listen, let us pray. You say you're a child of God. And you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your Savior. Do you pray? You said to me this morning, I never pray. Never bother. You need to have a look into your heart to see you're truly born again. The true Christian is one who prays unto the God of heaven. And we see the importance of that in the commencement of prayer. As I read the Bible, I see the importance of prayer in the communion of prayer. See, let us go speedily and pray, or let us pray. Where does the exercise of prayer bring us? Well, the answer is very simple. It brings us into the presence of God. In Hebrews 4, verse 16, let us come boldly onto the throne of grace. And when I come to pray, we commune with God. The child of God talks with the Lord. And if we want to meet with God, how are we going to meet with God? We've got to pray. We've got to pray. If I'm going to commune with God. One of the great preachers and also commentators of the past, and one of my favorite, I have to say, as well, is Dr. Lloyd-Jones. He said a wonderful statement. I'm going to read about what he said about prayer in a moment, but I say this. There's hardly a time that I preach about prayer that I don't mention this statement. This is not the first time I'm going to give you this quote. I don't make any apologies for that. And here's the reason why. It's one of the greatest quotes I ever read a man say about prayer in my life. And here's what he said when he was thinking about the believer getting before God to pray. He says, man is at his greatest and highest when upon his knees he comes face to face with God. And I read that to you again. He says, man is at his greatest and highest when upon his knees he comes face to face with God. And this godly man was saying that a child of God, he's at his greatest place, his greatest position when he's praying. When he's down on his knees before God. It's not when I'm in the pulpit. It's not when you're in the pew. And it's good to be in the pulpit and good to be in the pew. But when you're in prayer, you're face to face with God. If you're going to talk with God, child of God, you need to pray. It's how we meet with Him. It's how we talk to Him. We come to the throne of grace to meet with God. Isn't it wonderful that we can meet with God today? That we can come into His presence. That's why, as I said in that text and verse in Hebrews chapter 4, let us come boldly onto the throne of grace. We go to meet with God. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in Matthew 6 and verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. You have the whole picture there in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get alone with God. Get into the closet. Shut the door. Get away from your family. Get away from your friends. Get alone with God. And so it's important, if I'm going to pray, to get to meet with God, I need to pray. And I say that to every child of God here in the meeting as well. It's important that you pray. Do you want to talk with God? Do you want to have communion with the Lord? Do you want to meet with Him? Then you need to pray. That's how we do it. It's important. That's what the wonder says, let us, and I used it, pray. And then it's also important because you think in the Bible about the command to pray. Many commandments, of course, given to God's people in His Word. The Ten Commandments, we think, of course. We're commanded to be holy. We're commanded to love one another. But as I read the Bible, it plainly tells us we're commanded to pray. That God's people are to be a praying people. It should be part of our life. If I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and He has saved me by His grace, then certainly, according to the Bible, I am to pray. You are to pray. We're commanded to pray. I gave you a couple of references. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit. And he's writing to this church at Ephesus. He said, well, listen, pray always. Be a people who pray. In Colossians 4, verse 2, he says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Well, as I read the Bible, God's people are to be a praying people. We are to pray. In Jeremiah 33, in verse 3, the Lord says to Jeremiah, call unto me, and I will answer thee. And when we come to God's Word, we see very plainly, we are to be a praying people. This congregation is to be a praying people. We are to pray. You are to pray. You are to pray privately. And can I say publicly, there are prayer meetings in this church. Now, I do grant that some people are unable to come. But maybe you can come and you don't bother coming. Child of God, we want this congregation, this church to be known as a praying people. Come together. Meet with God. Cry to God together. We are to pray. We are to have prayer meetings. When I was in England one time, a fellow gave me, it was actually an essay, whatever it may be, that his brother-in-law had written against the public prayer meeting in the church. And he came and he gave it to me, and I looked at it. Well, I was horrified what I read. What an attack. This so-called pastor, he was so-called pastor, had written against the prayer meeting in the church. And I looked at the fellow and I says to him, has anybody ever answered this man? And he says, nobody has ever answered him. He gave it out to a lot of people. Well, I says, I'll answer him. And it's not because I'm bright, because I'm not. But I wasn't stupid when it came to prayer. And one of the first things I wrote to this man was, it's very funny you should say it, because this man was saying there should be no prayer meetings in the church. They wouldn't go to the prayer meetings, this fellow, before the meetings. Wouldn't go to a public prayer meeting during the week. As I wrote to him, I said, it's very funny you should say there should be no prayer in the church. When the Lord Jesus Christ said, my Father's house shall be called the house of prayer. And I just got him right between the eyes with one shot. But there was other things as well. We are to pray. This congregation is to come together and pray. I'm saying to you, if you say, well, I've sort of got slack in the prayer meetings. I come and go. Let us pray. Every one of us could find many other things to do in prayer meeting night. I could find something else to do as well. But let us pray. Let this congregation be known as a congregation who prays. Who prays unto the Lord. And so, we're commanded to pray. And also think of Christ in prayer. We look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He prayed. That shows me it was important. If anybody, we could think, could have done without praying, it could have been the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But he prayed. In Mark 1, verse 34, or verse 35, sorry, Mark 1, verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. You read in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, and he went a little farther and fell on his face, and he prayed. And I say to you this morning, he still prays. He is our great high priest. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The Lord Jesus is still praying. He hasn't stopped praying. He's in heaven. But he's still praying. Why is that? Because prayer is important. It's important, you see. It's important. Look at the life of the Lord Jesus. He prayed. Let us as a people pray then. Look at the early church. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14, in the upper room, they continued in prayer. They came together. They had lost, in the sense of the Lord Jesus Christ, his presence from them. And they gathered together in the upper room. And these all continued. They all prayed. They said, what are we going to do? Let us pray. Let us pray. And when Peter was arrested and bound to be put to death in Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And the church got together and they says, well, what are we going to do? They're going to put Peter to death. The answer was very clear. Let us pray. That's what we're going to do. And this church needs to pray. When you look at the Bible, you'll see that the people are to pray. The public prayer meeting is the powerhouse of the church. And I'm sure you heard that story of C.H. Spurgeon bringing five people who came to see around his church. And he took them down and he showed us, I'm going to show you the boiler room of the church, where all the power is. And the young lads went down and there were 700 people who were praying. He said, this is the powerhouse. They believed in praying together. Now, we think of our text today. Let us pray. The importance of it. We need to pray. I need to pray. I need to take time alone with God. If I'm going to meet with God, if you're going to meet with God, we need to come together and we need to pray. The importance of prayer. The cry went up here in our text, let us go speedily to pray. What about your prayer life? And before we move to the next point, how are you praying? Have you got slack in the prayer life? Have you got cold? Are you just going through the motions? It's not how it's got ought to be. We've got to pray and cry unto the Lord. And so we say, let us pray. So think about, secondly, our inability to pray. There are times it's hard. I'm not saying to you, oh, my prayer life is perfect. It is not. I'm not saying that it's easy to pray. It is not. And sometimes we feel it's hard to pray. It's hard to utter the right words. In fact, it's easier to do any other thing, perhaps, in the Christian life than to pray. For instance, if I said here we're going to have an afternoon of work around the grounds or to the church, well, we'd all come together and roll our sleeves up and we'd all work and laugh and chat together. No problem. But if the minister of the church puts out and says, we're going to meet on Saturday afternoon and we're going to pray the whole afternoon, maybe late evening. That's a different story altogether. Did you ever go to an all-night prayer meeting? I went to them in my early days as a Christian. They were great nights. I'll probably find it difficult now going to an all-night prayer meeting. But we did in the early days. We were sellers. We were full of life. And if someone says we're going to pray and we're going to have a prayer meeting and we're going to pray all night, and we prayed all night. I cried to God. Sometimes it's not easy, but I feel weak in our flesh. We feel inability. We don't know what am I going to say? Maybe you come to the prayer meeting and say, well, you freeze up and say, well, I don't know how to pray. Listen, I feel very weak when it comes to prayer. Lloyd-Jones himself, he said these words, God knows it is very much easier to preach like this from a pulpit than to pray. He went on to say, because a man can speak to others with greater ease than he can speak to God. And I would have to say amen to that statement. I find it very easier to preach from this pulpit than to pray from this pulpit. You could ask any minister that as well. We feel our weakness because we're talking to God. And we seek to bring the congregation right into the presence of the Lord. I'm glad, even though we feel this inability, that the Lord helps us to pray. In Romans 8 verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And the Spirit of a living God is within our bodies, and he leads us and he helps us and he guides us how to really pray. You see the inability to pray. I say to you today, let us go and pray. You said, no, well, that's a hard thing. So it is. But it's important for you as a Christian to pray. For your family that you pray. For the congregation, this church, that we pray. So I'm not hiding anything about prayer. It's not always easy. But the Lord will help us. He never asks us to do anything. He doesn't give us the power to do it. It's a feeble excuse to say, well, I can't really pray. The Lord says, I can help you pray. He will lead us in the place of prayer. And I say to you this morning, here's a call to this congregation to be a praying congregation. To come before God to pray. And I'm bringing in the context of the prayer meeting of the church. If you can come, come along. There's 100 reasons why you can't go. But there's one reason why you should. To meet with God. And to see the work here going forward in the days that lie ahead when Dr. Pollock comes. He wants to look down and say, I know these people are behind me in the place of prayer. He can depend upon you. Now, as I said, some people are unable to come, work and other family issues, distance, not granted. But if you can come, then let's pray. Let's pray. I want to speak about the items in prayer. Let us pray. Well, what is prayer? Well, it's prayers, thanksgiving. It's bringing our requests to the Lord. Think of that great verse, Paul writing to the church at Philippi in Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything by prayer and supplication. Isn't it a wonderful thing when you and I come to pray, we can bring everything. We bring everything. The wee things. The big things. The things that hurt me. The things I need. We can bring all of these things in prayer. I'll run through some things very, very quickly. Think about the prayers in our prayers. Just getting alone with God and praising him. Just coming before the Lord alone and saying, Lord, I love thee. I have come aside, Lord, to tell you I love you. I thank you for saving me. Do you ever do that? Do you ever get alone with God? Just, Lord, I love thee. I thank you for dying upon the cross for my sins. We praise him. You think of Hannah's prayers there over in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1 and 3. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God." And this woman, she's in the place of prayer. But notice here, she's praising God. She's praising Him. And when you and I come to pray, we can praise God. Who He is. What He's done. And His great love towards us. Then, of course, do we not, there's praise and prayers, there's petitions and prayers. You think of all the things. What about provisions? The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread." We need the Lord to look after us. We thank the Lord for the work He's given you, the homes, the families. But without Him, we wouldn't have any of these things. When I was in Kenya, I met many people. Young lads out trying to do this and that to get a few shillings together, and they would look at me, and some of them did say to me, "I miss out earning my daily bread." But they were living, some of these people, day to day. I need the Lord to look after me in this world. So we need to pray and ask Him. Because if He withheld something, we would find ourselves in great need. We need His protection. There's temptation out there. The devil is going about like a roaring lion. We feel the weakness within. We feel sin dwelling within our hearts. And think of that verse in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. The Lord Jesus says, "Pray and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We need to pray. We need to say, "Lord, keep me safe in this world. Keep me safe from sin. Keep me safe from the devil." I tell you, there's many things you can pray for. Do we not need pardon and mercy? The Bible tells us in verse 12 there in Matthew 6, "And forgive us our debts." We need to ask the Lord to forgive us. Dealing. We're not the sinners we used to be. We're changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we do feel little things through the day. I need the Lord forgive me. I need to ask for forgiveness. Do we not need power to live the Christian life? In Luke 11 and verse 13, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" Do you want power to live for Jesus Christ? Do you want power to walk with Him, to be a witness for Him? Then you need to pray. He'll give us a power. That's how we get it. If we ask Him. And then we need to pray for people as well. Their sinners need to be saved. Think of the great words in Romans chapter 10, verse 1. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And there's a man who's praying for people that they might come to Jesus Christ. And every one of us here has family members and they're not saved. Friends are not saved. Maybe their neighbors and workmates are not saved. And then pray for them. Pray the Lord to save them. You know, before my conversion, I met a man doing work one day. Didn't know him. I met him once. I did a job for him before, and I came back to do another job. As I was leaving him, he had witnessed to me, and he says, "Noel, I'm going to pray for you. I'll pray for you." I tell you this, I was on a conviction of sin. And after that, a short period after, I could see it. I said, I hardly knew the man. And I was driving past his home a later occasion. I went up and knocked the door of his house, and I knocked the door, and he called him David, and he came out, and I says to David, "Did you pray for me?" He says, "I did." They say your prayer was answered. Prayer was answered. Because he prayed that God would save this man. He was only a young lad at the time, doing a driving job. He says, "I'll pray the Lord will save you." He said, "God answered your prayer." And there's people you know not saved. We don't want to see our family and friends lost without Christ. Well, pray. God has ordained that we pray. Here's Apostle Paul praying for the people of Israel that they might be saved. You need to pray, you see. Then God's servants need prayer. You think of Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Paul writes into that church, and here's what he says. Now, I beseech you, he's really crying out to them in a sense. Brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. When he wrote to this church, he didn't ask them for money. He didn't ask them for the possessions. He said, I tell you what I want you to do for me. I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for me. Someone has said the church wants a better pastor. It only needs to pray for the one that they have. When I say Dr. Pollock is going to be coming to us, he wants to know there's a people behind him. He prays. And he hasn't asked me to say these things, by the way, in case you think. Not the case. It's just part of the messages. You're going to get God's servant. He's called the man to come here. And I would say, certainly no, without even speaking to him about the matter. But being a servant of the Lord myself, we need people who pray us. Who pray us. You need to pray for God's servants. Good to hear he's praying for people here each week from the Mar Mooney, the brother Armin there up in Calgary at the moment as well. We need to pray for God, sir. I want you to pray for me as well in my ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then think of people, not just sinners and servants, but saints. It says in Ephesians 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. There are saints today, and they're feeble, and they're sick. We've got to pray for one another. And it's wonderful when you tell somebody your different needs and your problems, and they look at you and say, listen, I'll remember you. Maybe you're going through a hard time and some child of God comes to you and says, I'm remembering you. It means I'm praying for you. And you and I have got to pray in this way, in this fashion. We've got to pray for our sovereigns, for our kings and rulers. In 1 Timothy 2 verse 1, I exhort therefore the first of all supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. We are to pray for our rulers. That's not for me to get into the politics of the United States of America. You've had that in recent days. But pray for those in authority, that you may be able to live a peaceful and a godly life in your country. Pray for the programs of the church. The outreaches, the children's work, our Sunday school. Our brother Joe goes out today in the old people's home to bring the word of God. Well, do you pray that God will bless him? Our brother Wayne and Jim teach the young people. The Sunday school and Bible class, do you pray that God will bless them? We need to pray for each other. We need to cry and ask God's help. We need to pray for his presence to be with us. Remember, Moses said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us up not thence. Exodus 33, verse 15. There are many, many things that you and I are to pray for. I'm just bringing these items very, very quickly to you. But we are to pray. We are to pray for praise God, for the petitions, for the people, for the programs, for his presence. Lord, teach us and help us to pray. Think about the intensity here of prayer in our text. But notice what he says. Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. The word seek means to search out, to strive after. He really means business here with the people. There was no cold and formal praying here that he was calling the people to do. Let us go and seek the Lord. Go and seek him with all our heart. Let's go and cry to him. Remember, it says of Elijah in James 4, verse 17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. He actually means he prayed in his prayer, he crying unto God with all his heart. Let us really seek God with all our heart. I'm sure you heard of that famous preacher from Northern Ireland, W.P. Nicholson. He was a mighty man, used of God. He preached for a period of time also in America. Somebody was in his room where he was staying one time and noticed that the sheets on his bed were ripped. And they pointed out to him what happened. And you know what was happening? When he was praying, he didn't know he was doing it. On the side of his bed, he had a hold of the bedclothes. And he was ripping them. He was crying unto God with all his heart. We need to pray earnestly and continually and faithfully. What you can see, let us this morning, it's very simple. Let us pray. I want you, and God wants you, of course, to be a praying person. Young person, be a person who prays. Older person, congregation, seek the Lord with all your heart. Let's be a praying people. Let the people of this community know that this congregation, they love the place of prayer. That we pray. They may see on a Saturday morning when some come together, there's people, what are they doing? They're praying. If we're not doing it for show, we're doing it to meet with God. Let us pray. If you're not saved, isn't it a wonderful thing if you repent from your sin and turn away from it and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and pray to him, he'll save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And cry with all your heart and he will save you. But let us today, let us pray. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts. Just going to close our meeting in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word that brings us to the place of prayer. Teach us how to pray. Maybe some here's got slack in this matter. The devil doesn't want us to pray. The flesh doesn't want to pray. But Lord, we're told to pray and to seek thy face. Oh, let this be a praying congregation, I ask of thee. I pray you watch over us as we go separate ways. I pray the blessing of Triune God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit will rest from me and abide upon each and every one of us until we meet together again this evening in this fashion. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.